Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Janabalava Ivarudhavati
Gopi Janabalava Ivarudhavati
Gopi Janabalava Ivarudhavati Sunanandana Prajajarunandana Sunanandana Prajajarunandana Bhunate Brahmanasya
Paramahansa-paravidagacharya, all-stutella, satashi, shimad, his divine grace, Savaya chananada bhaktivananda, gosami marshila prabhupada kichaya, iskan, founder-acharya, shila prabhupada kichaya, Anantakoti Vaishnavrindagajaya Namacharya Shilapilastakurgajaya Ram Sake Ahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindagajaya Shishi Radhakrishna Govagavata Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govind Gijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Navadeeptam Kijai Jagavatasami Kijai Shivali Lassidevi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Gaur. All glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 15, Text 78. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Suko Vacha Iti Devarsana Proktam Nishamya Varatarshava Pujayam Asa Supritaha Krishnam cha prema vivalaha shishugubhacha iti devarsina prokta vishamya varata shabha Ujayam asa supreta Krishnam cha prema vivalaha Shishugavacha Tidevarsina prokta Shamya bharata chava Ujayam asa suprita Krishnam cha prema vivalaha Shichukuvacha Iti devarsana prokta Ishamya bharata shava Ujayam Masa Suprita Krishnam cha prema vivalaha. Okay.
Shri Shukavasa Shukavasa Iti Devarsina Prokta
Iti Devarsina Prokta
Nishamya Parata Risap
Nishamya Bharatar Sahara
Pujaya Asa Suprita
Pujaya Asa Suprita
Krishna Cha Prema Vibhava
Krishna Cha Prema Vibhava
Shri Shukra Vata
Shri Shukra Vata
Iti Devarsina Proktam
Iti Devarsina Proktam
Nishanya Bharatar Sabaha
Nishanya Bharatar Sabaha
Pujayan Asa Suprita
Pujayan Asa Suprita
Krishna Chapima Deva
Krishna Chapima Deva
Shri Sukha
Uvacha
Iti Devarshina Proktam
Iti Devarshina
Proktam
Nisamya Bhavatrasava
Nisamya
Bhavatrasava
Ujjayamasa Sukrita
Ujjayamasa Sukrita
Krishnam Cha Prima Devala
Krishnam Cha Prima Devala
Shri Shukravacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Iti, thus, Deva Vrishna, by the great Saint Narada Muni, Proktam, described, Nishamya, hearing. Bharata Rishabha, the best of the descendants in Bharata Maharaja's dynasty. Namely, Maharaj Yudhisthira. Pujayam Hasa, worshipped. Supritaha, being extremely pleased. Krishnam, unto Lord Krishna, Cha, also, Rema Pivalaha, in the ecstasy of love of Krishna.
In the ecstasy of the love of Krishna.
It's a translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the best member of the Bharata dynasty, thus learned everything from the descriptions of Narada Muni. After hearing these instructions, he felt great pleasure from within his heart and in great ecstasy, love and affection. He worshipped Lord Krishna. You can repeat, Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the best member of the Bharata dynasty, thus learned everything from the descriptions of Narada Muni. After hearing these instructions, he felt great pleasure from within his heart and in great ecstasy, love and affection. He worshipped Lord Krishna. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki, joy. It is natural that when someone belonging to one's family circle is understood to be very great, one becomes ecstatic in love, thinking, oh, such a great personality is our relative. When Sri Krishna was already known to the Pandavas, was further described by Narada Muni to be the Supreme Personality Godhead. Naturally, the Pandavas were amazed, thinking, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is with us as our cousin. Certainly, their ecstasy was extraordinary. So, Sri Sukhovacha Idevarshina Proktam Nishamya Bharatarshava Pujyamasa Supritya Krishnam cha prema vivalaha. So, Om Agnata Vidanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Gena Tasmai Shigarabeda Maha.
So in spite of the Pandavas being ostensibly in the Kuru dynasty, actually they were the Kuru dynasty, even though sometimes it's described that the Kurus versus the Pandavas, ostensibly they were in the Kuru dynasty, but actually they had no blood relationship with the Kuru dynasty. No genetic blood relationship with the Kuru dynasty. Because the Pandavas were all the sons of Kunti. And Kunti, she had the five Pandavas by various demigods, of course, beginning with Yamaraj, and then Vayu, and then Indra, and then the Ashwini Kumars, as far as Nakula and Sahadev. So basically they had no bloodline, you know, genetically bloodline, coming from the Kuru dynasty. There's a reason for that. Actually, Krishna wanted to end the Kuru dynasty because the Kuru dynasty had become contaminated with demoniac personalities, demoniac kings. And so Krishna just wanted to end the whole dynasty, and the dynasty definitely ended. Although externally, or from one angle, the dynasty continued because they were considered the Pandavas, but genetically they were not the Pandavas. Everyone understand that? Genetically they weren't the Pandavas, but by social custom they were considered to be the Pandavas. Actually, they were the sons of Kunti and the demigods. So, and who is Kunti? The story goes that there was once upon a time a king. His name was Surasena. And Surasena had several children. And two of the children were named Kunti, and another one was named Vasudev. And Vasudev is the father of Krishna. And so there's Vasudev and Devaki. They gave birth to Krishna, and Kunti gave birth to the Pandavas. So Krishna, in actuality, is the genetic cousin of the Pandavas. And so here, Yudhisthira Maharaj is completely ecstatic, thinking, you know, I'm related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, that would be pretty nice. If you think about it, like if your cousin happened to be God, cousin Joe, you know, or Gertrude, Aunt Gertrude or something, happened to be God. So he's very, very proud of that. However, at the same time, it's not considered necessarily because one's relative happens to be God, an incarnation, or a great devotee, that one is necessarily a great devotee too, or a great personality. I mean, you see in Krishna's pastimes that some of his relatives were actually demons. I mean, another cousin of Krishna was Shishupala. And Shishupala, of course, was completely dedicated throughout his whole existence to denigrating the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And ultimately, he got killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So there's an instance of a family member being completely inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not being a qualification that he was a family member of Krishna. And even Krishna's own son, we've told that story many times before, this Bhomasura, who was Krishna's son, when Krishna assumed the form of Lord Varaha and impregnated the earth planet, Krishna ended up killing him. So he was Krishna's direct son, and Krishna ended up killing him, which is really interesting, how Krishna killed his son. So, in any case, that's not enough to be related to God. Although, in the modern day and age, you find different personalities who Bhakti Suranta Saraswati Thakur confronted, who consider themselves to be descendants of Lord Nityananda, because that's the Nityananda Vamsa, or because they happen to come in a particular parivar. Parivar means like a descent, disciplic dissension, descendants.
of Advaitacharya. There's the Advaita Parivar. There's the Janavamata Parivar. They consider themselves somehow or other more exalted. Or even you have in Vrindavan the Goswami caste, who has claimed proprietorship of the various temples in Vrindavan. And, you know, some of them are very good devotees. I'm not criticizing them precisely. But because they're descendants of the original Pujaris, they're not descendants of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, obviously. You know, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, etc. didn't have seminal descendants. But at the same time, they did have disciples who they assigned to worship the deities, and those disciples passed on the deities to their disciples, and passed on the deities to their disciples, and the temples to their disciples. And in many cases, the members of the Goswami caste ended up selling the temple to make money for their families, or selling the properties of the temple, not the temple per se. Like you see, in Vrindavan, you see Lori Bazaar. And Lloyd Bazaar was previously, practically all of Lloyd Bazaar was the property of the Radha Damodara temple. And that was all sold to the shopkeepers or whoever was going to do business so that they could support their families. Because originally those properties were meant to support the temple. And so you see they're descendants of great devotees. And obviously the original Pujaris who took care of the deities were great devotees. But somehow or other, many of them acted not as great devotees. So it's not enough to be in the same family. And even in other religions, it's interesting. In the Muslim religion, for example, there's that whole split between the Sunnis and the Shiites based upon seminal succession. Well, I'll explain what I mean by that. The Shiites, they consider that Muhammad's cousin, Ali, some of you may know about this, he's like the first of all the, of all the ministers or imams in the Muslim religion, and then those who descend from him are now the head of the Shiite sect. And the Sunnis consider basically, the descendants come from one of the secretary. I think it was the secretary of Muhammad. So you see the same conception of bodily connection is even important in the Muslim religion, and it's divided the Muslim religion in so many different ways. But this is not considered important, whether someone is actually in the same family as Krishna, or in the same family as Krishna's representative or prophet or something like that. What's considered important is one's spiritual position, not one's family. Although, in many cases, there are Acharya families, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He gave a birth, his wife gave birth, Vishnu Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I mean, Prabhupada was born in a family of pure devotees. So in many cases, it's like that. But not in every case. And of course, in the Christian religion, they worship Mary, who is considered to be, who is, the mother of Jesus Christ. So sometimes there's this family connection is considered important. Sometimes it's not considered important. In any case, as far as ourselves are concerned, we're not coming down in the same family as Krishna. We're not coming down in brahminical families or exalted gotras. But Prabhupada said that when we go to a temple and they ask us, what is your gotra? Then we should say achyuta gotra. So in other words, they're asking us, what is our family seminal succession? We should say that we're coming down from Krishna. And actually, this is borne out by Krishna in the Gita,
where Krishna says, Hung Bija Tadapi Taha, that I am the seed-giving father of everyone. And especially the devotees, as Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, Sarva Vidyamayam, Saranam Ridiham Paham, Maranyatharina Janati, Naham Tevyo, Manadapi. I mean, this is really family relationship here. So Krishna says, the sages, or sadhus, sadhu means someone who is absorbed in the sat, or the eternal nature of the Supreme Personality, got it. These sages are thinking of me in their hearts. And Krishna says, I am all sarvarudyamayam sarvamriyam tvalam, that I am also thinking of the sages in my heart. I mean, that's really intimate relationship. That we are thinking of Krishna, and Krishna is meditating on his pure devotees. Just like we were talking about the other day, that the devotees in Braj, they are not in anxiety because they know Krishna is protecting them. That's why, for example, they marched into the mouth of the Agasura demon. I mean, if I were to, let's say, not I, but let's say this big demon was out there, this big demon, or even just like an ordinary snake. Let's say a snake. I mean, that's not even take a big demon. Let's say a copperhead. Let's say there's a copperhead there. How many of you would just go walk up to him and pet the copperhead? I don't think anyone would do that. So take the scenario of the coward boys seeing this big, they understood it was a demon. Yeah, he looked like a cave. He was trying to portray himself like a big cave. But there was a fishy smell coming out of his mouth. I mean, nobody walks into a fishy, smelly place unless you like fish. Described, there was like a disgusting smell coming out. It was obviously it was a demon. And the coward boy said, we don't have to worry. No anxiety. Just like us. We're always in anxiety about different things. For example, you know, there's worried about the renovation of the temple. There's anxiety about our health. Every time you have some like growth on your body or your hair falls out, especially with the ladies, there's anxiety, you know, we're full of anxiety. But the coward boys were confronted with the most dangerous situation imaginable. No anxiety. They just march in. Hare Krishna. Okay, let's go in. Let's have a good time. Let's see how Krishna saves us. No anxiety. And of course, Krishna saved him. However, it's described in the Krishna book and 10th Canto of Bhagavatam, which is, Krishna book is a summary study of that, that Krishna was in anxiety. He was thinking, oh my God. And he's God. Imagine God thinking, oh my God. So he's thinking, oh my, what's going to happen? He's in anxiety. So the point is that Krishna's an anxiety in Vrindavan, and the gopis are not, and the devotees are not, sorry. The gopis are, because they want to meet with Krishna, but the devotees are not, as far as their own safety and their maintenance, you know, like the six symptoms of surrender. To understand that Krishna is always protecting you, to understand that Krishna is always maintaining you. So Krishna's in anxiety over that. No, don't get water, please. Not necessary. So Krishna's always in anxiety. Part of being old. So Krishna's always in anxiety over protecting his devotees and maintaining his devotees. So that's the point. Sadhavo Ridyam Mayam Sadhanam Ridyam Twangam. Krishna is meditating on the sadhus, just like the sadhus are meditating on Krishna. And of course,
That's an illustration of the verse in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Yayatamam prapajante tamsatato bhajamiham. As they approach me, I reciprocate with them accordingly. So if you meditate on Krishna, Krishna meditates on you. If you take shelter of Krishna, Krishna will just completely be absorbed in protecting you and maintaining you. If you think you can do it independently, Krishna says, all right, let Maya take care of the guy or girl. So, sadavo vidyam mayam, sadunam vidyam tuham. Maranyat tena janate maranyat, which means any other than me. Tena janate. They do not have anyone else other than me, Krishna says. Therefore, I do not have anyone else. I do not have anyone else other than them. So this is a tight, close relationship, a devotee, family relationship that we have with Krishna. Try to understand that. So just like Yudhisthira Maharaj is feeling ecstasy here, we should feel ecstasy, because actually, by taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada, taking initiation in the Krishna conscious movement, we become part of Krishna's family. This is the point I'm trying to make. Just like Krishna says in the Gita, about fifth chapter, text 29. Vokturam jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshram suridam. That's that word again. Surit. Surit means someone who is a well-wishing heart friend. Rit means heart, and Su means good heart. So, Krishna is very close to us. And when we forget that, we become in anxiety, and when we remember that, we experience ecstasy like Yudhisthira Maharaj is experiencing in this particular case. That Krishna is our dear family member, friend, well-wisher, protector, maintainer. So what's the problem? That's what I would say. What is the difficulty? And not only that, but he's empowering us, if we are faithful to him, he's empowering us to do amazing things in spreading Krishna. Not just like Prabhupada understood, that's Sharanagati. Prabhupada understood, and actually even if you read Prabhupada's poems, like Markandeya Dharma, when Prabhupada came to America, actually on the boat, the poem on the boat too, Krishna is talking about his dear friend Krishna. Prabhupada sung his bet, his dear friend Krishna. So that's how Prabhupada manifested his abhaya shatva samshuddhi jnana yoga vivastati, his freedom from fear. That's why Prabhupada was able to come to America with no resources. That's why Prabhupada was able to cross an ocean in old age. That's why Prabhupada was able to be so enthusiastic, because he understood that Krishna was always with him and Krishna was his dear friend and relative. So here, Yudhisthira Maharaj is experiencing ecstasy. So this should cause ecstasy in our own hearts. This, of course, is like a vibhava, describing stimulation for ecstasy, describing how close Krishna is to us and how Krishna is taking care of us and maintaining us. So we should all feel as a warm, fuzzy, protected, secure, happy. All these symptoms can be manifest in us if we come to the same realization that Yudhisthira Maharaj is experiencing. In order to do that, we have to hear regularly about these things. Just like Yudhisthira Maharaj, he heard about it, and that evoked his remembrance, described here. After hearing these instructions, he felt great pleasure from within his heart, and a great ecstasy, love, and affection, and worship Lord Krishna. In other words, it evoked his remembrance. So this hearing process evokes our remembrance. That's what we have to hear every day. That Krishna is with us. Krishna is our relative. Krishna is our friend.
Prabhupada describes, 529 of the Gita as the peace formula. Why are we not experiencing peace? And that peace formula is not meant to simply be utilized to show us how to have peace in this world, peace in the world, but it's also peace internally. Why are we not peaceful? Because we don't understand Bhaktaram Jagatatasam, Sarva Lokamaheshwaram, and specifically Suridam Sarvabhutanam. Krishna's with us. He's our friend in the heart, Surit. Videsha Arjuna Tishtati, Brahmayan Sarvabhutani, Yantra Vudani Maya. Anyway, so these are some of the points we can derive from this particular verse and purport. So any questions or comments? Yes.
What is it that's getting in the way of our developing that level of faith?
We're not hearing enough. We don't hear enough, we don't read enough, we don't associate enough with those who have that realization. If we hear about these things, just like, I mean, let's take the recent election, which I don't like to talk about, but anyway. Because this person was, I won't mention the name, but anyway, there's negativity, a lot of negativity. And so the person kept dwelling on negativity, dwelling, and people believed it after a while. You know, if you say about someone, like, I mean, just like the story Prabhupada told about, what is it, Gopal Bhanda has become a ghost or something like that. Is that interesting story, you know, a joke. So, somehow or other, they had this whole plan, how to convince someone that someone had become a, Gopal Bhanda had become a ghost. And everyone said, no, oh, he's become a ghost. And after a while, he believed it. Even believed in himself that he became a ghost. You know, oh, you've been a ghost, you're a ghost. And someone else said, oh, a ghost. And he said, I've become a ghost. So when you hear something enough, even material nonsense, negativity, you actually start, you believe it. And that's propaganda. And you see that the Nazis did that in Germany too. You know, propaganda means that you tell people enough times, even if it's a lie, and then people believe the lie. You know, what do they say? If you have to lie, make it a big lie. And people believe it. Because that's the nature of the mind. So when we hear things about sense gratification, like with the Indians, I talk about Bollywood movies quite a bit. But if you hear it enough times, sense gratification, you believe it. Even you become desensitized to things that are vikarmic, things that are horrible. There's like someone, let's say a little child in Fiji, that people kill their own goats, even the Indians, they kill their own goats and everything. So a little child, first time, is horrified by it, but then after a while, it becomes, this is part of life. Or killing in the army. When you're a soldier's trained to kill, before that, he'd never hurt anybody in his whole life, but after that, you develop a habit. So you hear something enough. So we are meant to hear the truth enough so it becomes ingrained in our consciousness. So if we don't hear enough, then we forget. Part of smaranam, remembering, before you get smaranam, you get shravanam and kirtanam. So we have to have enough shravanam and kirtanam. That's why it says nityam bhagavata sevaya. Hearing the bhagavatam, well, nityam means eternally, but Prabhupada translates that as regularly. So regularly we have to hear. Krishna's our well-wisher. Krishna loves us. Krishna's taking care of us. I mean, in the Christian church, they always chant, well, Jesus loves us, right? Don't they? Jesus loves the little children. I mean, they have songs about it. So, and it's true, Jesus does love the little children. He loves the old people too, thank God. So, But if you, but so the idea is to hear every day, rather than hear the other things that are very depressing, like the news, especially recently. So that's why. If we don't hear enough, then we forget. If we hear a Krishna thing here, Krishna loves you, wow, I'm ready to do anything. Yeah.
But something that keeps coming around to me is, but isn't it how to listen, how we associate,
oh, yeah,
how we chant?
Yeah, no. There's a quality too. Shraddhananath, you have to hear with faith. That's what the Bhagavatam says. Vasudeva Katavuchi. And if you hear with faith, then you're fearless, free of, you know, you may have some anxiety, but the anxiety is blissful. Like Prabhupada, Tamal Krishnamar said to Prabhupada, he said, I'm in so much anxiety, it's hard to hear my rounds. And Prabhupada said, me too. But the point is that anxiety is blissful. It's not depressing. It's not doing this for Krishna. But it's necessary to hear. Just work. If you just work, you won't be able to continue. And if you just hear and chant, and you don't work, that means you're not really hearing and chanting, because when you're hearing and chanting, you're praying to Krishna for service. Mm-hmm. So there has to be a balance. Anyway, there has to be a balance between hearing and chanting. But every day, you know, we have this Bhagavatam class. And if you can't be in Bhagavatam class, then watch it online or listen to a recorded class or something like that. But every day we have to hear. You know, whenever there's time, we should be hearing to remind us. Otherwise we forget, we just become dull-minded. Especially in Kali Yuga. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to Svanga, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Okay, now we'll see the deities. We want to thank everybody for joining us online. Rangadevi, Alina, Vaneshra, Chital, and others. We're going to take darshan of Radha Gurukananda. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gaurakananda, Radha Gaurakananda Ki Jai. Thank you.
Chama.
Thank you.
such as she, Shiva, his divine grace, Savayachamna Bhaktananda Gosami Shiva Rubhadhyaya, Iskan Boundara Charya, Rubhadhyaya, Yogi Voishnav Vindhijaya, Nama Charya, Shiva Puridas, Bhaktananda, Rendase Gosh Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda Shivaita Gadada, Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vindhijaya, Shishi Rai Krishna, Gaur Sain Kunrakunda Ki,
Thank you.